Welcome to the second half of the 2016 regular season for the Eagles. We stand at 4-4 after an eight-game roller coaster, one that started 3-0 for Philadelphia, but has since seen the Eagles lose four of their last five games. What can the Eagles do to turn back the 6-3 Atlanta Falcons, who visit Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday with the league's top-scoring offense and a defense that has played just well enough to give the Falcons the top spot in the NFC South? Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 45. I'm insider Dave Spadaro, glad to be with you as the Eagles find out a whole lot about themselves starting in this salute to service game against the Falcons. Maybe that's a good place to start here with the fact that the Eagles play in South Philadelphia, where they are a dominating 3-0 this season. Can the home cooking be just what this team needs to get back on track? Wide receiver Jordan Matthews says the home fans certainly have aided the cause this season.
We have played better at home, and I know it's something that we've been able to feed off of as far as, you know, the fans, and it's just, the atmosphere at the link, second to none. I don't like to get up here and, like, do all that. Like, we just got to go out and win. Like, it can't be a home-away thing. At the end of the day, there's maybe one game where I felt like, okay, when I look back at it, we got outplayed. The other games, we gave them away. So we got to just go back, detail our work, and say, we're not going to give up these games anymore, especially late in games. We got to really focus in and hone in and feel like, okay, what do we need to accomplish? Let's get it done so we can stop giving up these wins. And I think that's something that we're
going to
do.
We're going to take a look at the offensive line through the eyes of Coach Jeff Stoutland in this podcast, and we're going to get some hard analysis about the team from former Eagles Brian Westbrook and Mike Quick. Cornerback Nolan Carroll chats about the huge challenge the secondary faces, and quarterback Carson Wentz talks about the inconsistent nature of the Eagles offense. But now, it's time to hear from head coach Doug Peterson in his exclusive one-on-one interview for the Eagles Live Podcast. Doug, how do you feel about your team at 4-4, halfway point of the season?
If you'd have told me that we'd have been 4-4 going into, you know, the second half of our season, I'd have been pleased with that. You know, we've had an opportunity now these last few games to really see what our football team is made of. We've had some opportunities to win some games too and be a little bit better than where we are. But the team's headed in the right direction. You know, we're a little young on offense, obviously, and working through some things and some growing pains there. Defensively is playing solid defense, creating turnovers. Anytime you got some young players that are playing, getting valuable reps, it's just going to put you in a better position in the second half of the year.
The way you've gotten here, though, four losses in the last five games, I wonder for some young players, how do you sense kind of the mood that they have? How do they deal with that after a 3-0 start?
I think they lean on the veteran leadership of the football team. That's where it has to really lie, and they got to see how these guys come to work every day and practice. And, you know, it's short-term memory in this business, and you win and lose, and you're on to the next game. It's that fast. And so they got to lean on veteran presence, and those guys, the veterans, have to step up and lead and show by example and just rally the troops, because there's a lot of football left, and we still got ourselves a chance.
Two areas of concern offensively, third downs and red zone. How do they get better?
Well, one, when you point out third down, too many third and longs. You know, in the game the other day, we had, I believe, 8 or 9 third and, you know, 8 pluses, and that's just too hard to overcome, and we got to do better on first and second down. Penalties have been kind of the culprit in that area, too. You know, red zone, it's just about execution. You know, we understand that lanes are tighter, ball's coming out usually faster, and, you know, we got to make plays, and we got to put our playmakers in position to do that, and it's obviously by design and by scheme. So, you know, we focus on a couple of those areas there, eliminate some penalties, we should be okay.
How do you evaluate Carson through eight games?
Carson, he's been steady. He's improved. There's a lot of ball that he, I think, has left out on the football field these first eight games. He's learning through a lot of different situations. Each game is a different animal. He's a guy that we're asking a lot of, you know, offensively, whether it be run checks, pass checks, protection checks, whatever it is. You know, we're working through some things. You know, sky's the limit. I think this team is headed in the right direction, as I said earlier, and he's a big part of it, and we just got to keep him going each week.
Doug, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
To have sustaining success, the offense must get great play up front from a line that has been tested with the suspension of right tackle Lane Johnson and the injury to left guard Alan Barber, who will miss his second consecutive game. Line coach Jeff Stoutland says his group has shown some very much-needed depth.
They've done okay. The good news is that, you know, Howie and his staff have provided us depth. We bring in guys now to the offensive line when there's an injury or when there's a situation where I don't think there's that much of a drop-off. Obviously, losing Lane was a huge factor, but V has done a really good job and improves every single game. Matter of fact, he improves every day, to be honest with you.
What's been the key to his development, Coach?
I think learning the technique part of it, and Jason Peters has been a big part of that. I placed him in the media room right next to JP, and not only am I coaching him, but it's like JP's coaching him 24/7 as well. So just to get a lot of insight from a player that's played the position, from the coach. Technically, though, you can see him. He's night and day what he was from the first game.
It also requires
requires a player to be very mentally strong. And I know his first game, a little ups and downs in Washington, and he seems to have bounced back from that very well. Can you talk about that part of his development?
He's a very stable player, very stable guy. There's really not a lot of peaks and valleys with V. He's pretty straight line. Whether you coach him hard or you're nice to him, doesn't matter. He's just the same person. I think he's hard on himself when he doesn't perform well or he doesn't utilize the right technique, which I like. I like that. I like a guy to be demanding of himself as well. Very happy with what he's done thus far. He had a tremendous challenge this week against Olivier Vernon, who I have a lot of respect for, and he did a really good job.
How instrumental has Brandon Brooks been in the development of Big V, and how has Brandon's play been this season?
Brandon has played well. He's grades out high every week. But more importantly, even with Lane, when he came here brand new, he's a leader by nature. He likes that role. He's an intelligent player, and he really helps. It's not just Kelsey over there making calls, but he also helps the right tackle in terms of communication phase of what's going on, how we're going to do it. I mean, in the heat of the moment. So you'll see him. If you watch the right guard, you'll see him in the games, and he's always kind of conducting business. So we appreciate that from him.
Yeah, with the silent count helping Kelsey, as you said, there's a lot more responsibility than people recognize at that position, isn't there?
When we're on a road and we're using a silent cadence, which we've been really good at, we haven't had any issues with it, he literally has to turn his head around. So when the defense stems or moves the front or a linebacker, say, the split second, he has to come back, and now he doesn't have a lot of time to recover. I think V can help in that manner. I know Lane would help let him know, communicate, hey, what's going on in front of you while your head's around. There's a lot of things, little things that go on, other than just blocking somebody.
Sure. And now Stefan Wisniewski, 77 starts consecutive before he got to Philadelphia. So you knew you had a player who was versatile, who was reliable, and now he stepped in for Allen and seemed to do a good job against the Giants.
Yeah, he's a true pro. The guy is always football. He's football all the time. He's doing little things on his own. Like, we could be in the middle of a team drill, and I'll look for him to say something to him, and he's over there working on a technique. So he maximizes, you know, his time while he's here.
And at left tackle, Jason Peters still seems to play at such a high level, Jeff. What can you say about him that you haven't said already?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's an amazing, amazing person. Not only is he a great, great player, the best player I've ever even come close to coaching, but in terms of his mindset, in terms of how he practices every day. Now, I have to be smart because I don't need him to do some of these things. He's done it for 13 years. I mean, if he doesn't know how to kick slide on a defensive end, so I need to, at times, I do, and we've done this. We've done a smart job of getting him out of some of the practice reps so we can keep him fresh, and I think it's working well, and we got to continue that to do that for him.
Jason Kelsey in the middle. Tell me about his first 8 games.
Good. Good. I mean, we have things to work on. He and I talk about it all the time. There's technique stuff that needs to be worked on. But from a physicality standpoint, he's good. It's the technique portion of it that he and I work on all the time. He's his own worst critic now. He's as hard on himself as the fans in Philadelphia are hard on players. He's really hard on himself. And so I think with Jason, it's just a matter of once he starts clicking for him and he's doing it all right, then I think that just fuels the fire for him.
And then Stout, we saw on Sunday against the Giants, activated for the first time, played fullback and went and just destroyed the defensive player, Isaac Seumalo. Getting a little taste. What can you tell us about the way he's developed?
You know, number one, he wasn't here all spring. He missed a lot of time there mentally, but he's a very intelligent player. Number two, he was a little injured coming out of camp. He missed 2 of the preseason games. And so that kind of held him back a little bit. Now he's back to being healthy, and we're trying to utilize him because he's very talented. He's explosive. He's quick. He's got great balance. So we put him in on a play for, I think it was 4th and 1. He was going up to get his man. He was going in like a heat-seeking missile, and we had another issue with another position, and really he wasn't able to get to where he needed to go, but he kind of blocked someone else's guy and then on his way to his guy. But he's a very talented player, and we need to find ways of using him.
And then there are some younger players, Josh Andrews and Dylan Gordon. How do they get better? And kind of just for Eagles fans who don't see those young guys, what can you tell us about them?
Well, when they run plays against our defense, we all kind of run the same plays in the NFL. I mean, everybody runs a trap play, everybody runs a power play, everybody runs a zone play. So when they're giving the look to our defense, basically, and I told them, I said, I want you to use our calls. I want you to use our techniques, even though you're giving them, they're showing the defense, but I want you to use our calls. It's like you're running plays with our offense right now. There's really no difference. And that's really helped from that mindset standpoint. And I think that they've done a great job of that, helping our defense going full speed on every play, providing them with great looks in the run game and in protections. And that's really the key to the whole thing is playing fast, playing with great effort, and then executing the techniques properly.
Sounds good, Jeff. Big second half of the season ahead. Good luck to you.
Rookie quarterback Carson Wentz is coming off a game against the New York Giants that started with two interceptions and ended with an incomplete pass in the end zone to wide receiver Jordan Matthews with the game on the line. In between, Wentz threw for a career-high 364 yards as the Eagles nearly came back from a 14-0 deficit to beat the Giants. The offense, which started the season sizzling, has had its troubles since then, and Wentz is trying to put his finger on the problems.
I think as an offense, I think we came out obviously pretty hot. You know, I think we were doing some good things, but I think we just struggle with consistency. You know, I think that's something that we got to be better with. We got to be better with our details, just consistency and not shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, I think some of those, whether it's interceptions, fumbles, other turnovers, penalties, you know, I think we've had a little bit of everything in some of these losses that we just got to clean up.
No question the Eagles need to be on top of their game offensively, particularly on third downs and in the red zone, two areas of particular struggle this season. On the other side of the ball, where we're really going to take a deep dive here, the Falcons are loaded. Quarterback Matt Ryan is having an MVP-level season. Wide receiver Julio Jones already has 47 catches and 970 yards. Those are eye-popping numbers. But the key to the offense, says safety Malcolm Jenkins and linebacker Jordan Hicks, is the way the Falcons run the football to set everything else up. Here is Malcolm Jenkins.
They run the ball really, really well. They do everything well, even their drop-back passes. They've got enough different concepts out of different personnels. They've got, you know, a traditional two-back, one tight end look. Next thing you know, they got three tight ends on the field, and they're three wide receivers, and they're running all their concepts out of the same looks, different personnels. So they get matchups that they want, and they run the ball really, really well. So if you start to load up the box, they can just pick it up and throw hot passes to Julio, or they can start to get some play-action passes, and it's really hard to get a pass rush when they do block it up. And then you got Julio Jones. It's a new running two-man routes through your secondary, and he's got all day to throw the ball, and they can get open when you give them that much time and space. So they present a lot of different issues. You know, we're going to have to line up and play and compete, stop the run. We're going to have to match up and challenge on the outside. We're going to have to limit the big plays and just understand that they're going to make some plays. They're going to move the ball. Where we're going to have to show up is in that turnover category, being able to come up with a couple takeaways here or there, especially the red zone. You know, we're going to have to tighten up when the field shrinks and those deep shots and play action shots are no longer available. That's when we got to take advantage of that opportunity. But, you know, they're number one offense in the league for a reason, and it's because they do a lot of the stuff well.
Here is linebacker Jordan Hicks on what sets the Atlanta offense apart from others in the league.
Obviously, they've got a lot of playmakers, but I think it's their ability to run the ball and then their action off of their run. If they can get their run going, it opens up their entire offense. So it's going to be a huge key for us this week, stopping the run just as every week. But their pass game is based off of being able to run the ball and getting linebackers in the core, biting on the run fakes and getting guys out of position that way. So, you know, as long as we are stopping the run and forcing their hand, we should be all right.
Hi, I'm tight end Brent Celek, and you're listening to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Touchdown, Brent Celek!
Cornerback Nolan Carroll came up big against the Giants with a spectacular interception, working one-on-one against star wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. I have some one-on-one time with Carroll, part of a secondary with its hands full on Sunday.
Nolan, the challenge this week is a significant one with Julio Jones. What kind of receiver is he?
He's a dynamic receiver. You know, he's a guy that he's capable of getting 300 yards a game. We've seen that before, you know. And Matt Ryan's always trying to find him to get him the ball, and he can take a slant route and go 80, 90 yards with it if need be. You know, he's a guy that can take the top off of the defense. You know, we've seen him run by guys, multiple guys. He's double covered, triple covered, and he still makes a catch, you know. So he's one of those rare athletes that you really haven't seen in a few years. You know, the last guy I can kind of compare him to is kind of like Calvin Johnson, that body size, that frame, the big play ability. So, you know, we just got to be able to slow him down and really slow that offense down, and starts with stopping the run. If we can stop the run, that kind of gets them off pace with what they want to do.
Do you love the challenge of seeing the number one scoring offense in the NFL coming to Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday?
Yeah, we do. You know, and the same thing goes back to when we played Pittsburgh. Everybody's telling us that, you know, they're the number one scoring offense in the league, and we saw what we did. So we're ready for this challenge. We can't wait to get out and practice and go through it and see what they have to do, and we're anxious to play on Sunday.
The season started 3-0, you've lost four of the last five. What is the mindset in the locker room?
We know we're still positive. We know we're still in it. We're 4-4. A lot of teams would like to be 4-4, but you know, right now, we know we have everything in front of us. We just have to take it week by week. And like I said, it starts with Atlanta. We can get Atlanta, then we'll focus on next week. But right now, it's just this week. We don't want to look too far down the road.
How do you feel, Nolan, about the defense through eight games?
I think pretty good. You know, right now, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but I think we've had a lot of learning experiences, and I think, you know, guys have really gotten close on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of guys are starting to trust each other more. Guys are starting to communicate a lot better, eliminate mistakes, and, you know, you can see it on the field. Guys are flying around. Guys are making plays. Guys are having fun out there, and you know, that's really one of the things that we stress, you know, going into OTAs was to go out and have fun and set the tempo, and I think that's what we're doing.
This team has been so dominating at home. Any reasons why?
I think we just feed off the energy of the crowd. I think we just like being at home. You know, it's not the traveling all the time and staying in hotels. You can stay in your own room, you know, and kind of just relax. You see your family a little bit, and then just knowing that you're playing in front of your home crowd where everybody's cheering for you, I think we really feed off of that.
Nolan, thank you.
No problem.
We've got a couple of different perspectives in this week's press coverage, both former Eagles. First, Brian Westbrook talks about the team and its recent skid of four losses in five games, all close, but not enough to win.
Brian, the Eagles are 4-4 here. It's been a really tough last five games. What goes through a player's mind when they struggle like this?
Well, the problem is that you understand that you have to execute better. The truth of the matter is, when you lose a couple games in a row, everyone has to go back and look at themselves and say, what can I do better to help this team win? And I'm talking about from the head coach down to the last guy on the special teams or on the scout team. Can we practice a little bit different? Can we prepare a little bit different? Am I preparing the way that I should? Winning preparation. And every player on this team has to look at that. And I think if they do that, they'll be much better off on Sundays.
What are players, from your experience, what are they thinking right now about Doug Peterson?
Well, they're questioning just a little bit. He's a young rookie head coach, a guy that hasn't done it very long, and I think Doug has done a pretty good job, but he still is proving himself. And guys naturally are questioning him, questioning some of his decisions, and I think now is time for Doug to step up as a leader of this football team and lead the way and show them the direction that they need to be going.
Brian, it's all about Carson Wentz, so what have you seen through eight games, the good, the bad, and the not so easy to detect?
Yeah, I think Carson has done a pretty good job of making some great throws, getting everyone involved, keeping his team upbeat. But there are some rookie mistakes that he's made, throwing the ball to the other team, trying to fit the ball in windows he has no business trying to fit them in, some lackadaisical, reckless types of passes. He has to do a better job too. He's the leader of this team. If they're going to go as Carson Wentz goes, and he has to do a much better job of preparing himself, but also winning on Sundays, winning every single play. And if he wins that individual battle, I think he'll be okay.
Does the team need to see him win a game late in the fourth quarter?
I think that would help, of course. That would go a long way. I think for him, it's consistency throughout every single quarter, not just the fourth quarter. I think if he plays better in the first quarter, not throwing the ball to the other team, second and third quarter, it makes it a lot easier on the team in the fourth quarter. So I wouldn't just say the fourth quarter. I think in the first two quarters, or even the third quarter, if he plays much better there, it makes it easier on them on the fourth quarter.
Your thoughts on the defense after eight games?
I think they've played really well in certain situations. I think Jim Schwartz has done a great job of implementing some blitzes from time to time, but they have to play better. There's a lot of miscommunications on the back end. They have some guys that are playing that haven't been playing all the time, and they have to communicate better, but they also have to play better. I think the first three games, they were nasty, dominant defense. They have to get back to that if they want to win football games.
Is a playoff run still possible?
You know, if I'm coaching this football team, I'm telling them we're this close and we execute better, we coach better, we play better, then we can definitely make the playoffs. I think this team has the ability to be close to the playoffs. They have to play much better in the second half of the season if they want to kind of make it into that part of the season.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Mike Quick is a former wide receiver who knows what it's like to dominate games. He's got some advice for the Eagles' defense on Sunday.
Mike, Julio Jones comes to town and he's 30 yards short of 1,000 yards already. I mean, his numbers are just unbelievable. First, what makes him so good? And then second, really, what is going through Jim Schwartz's mind right now?
Well, for Jim Schwartz, I guess it's to slow him down and just try and limit the damage that he does. But he does damage to everybody, Dave. Even when he's double covered, there are always ways that you can beat double coverage, and they find a way to do it. When you try and zone him, they find the areas in the zone. He's such a great target. He's such a good route runner. There are not many people in the league that can run the end-breaking routes the way he does. And they're able to time it up so well that he'll run a dig route or an end-breaking route where he catches the ball in stride and is able to get yards after the catch. There's so many things that they're able to do with him because the 50-50 ball, he can go up and take that from nearly any D-back in the league. Down in the goal line, you'll see some teams that bracket him like he's a gunner on punt coverage with two defenders. defenders in front of him. You just have to cover this guy a different way because he's such a dynamic receiver.
He actually sounds unstoppable.
You can't stop him. I don't think you can stop him. I think if you try him enough men there to stop him, you're just going to give up so much in other areas of the field, and they've got enough people that can beat you in other areas if you devote too many people to Julio Jones.
So what does Jim Schwartz do defensively? What do you think his strategy will be on Sunday?
I think you got to roll coverage to Julio, but at the same time, you got to be concerned about Devontae Freeman and the receivers on the backside and the tight ends, and there's just a lot to be concerned about. So how do you stop it? You get to Matt Ryan, and you make things uncomfortable for Matt Ryan. You try and disrupt the timing by the quarterback, and if you're able to get him, get hits on him, then you've got a better chance of slowing up what they do downfield.
Do you see this as a high-scoring game?
I think that the Falcons will score points, and I think that the Eagles will have to score points to keep up with the Falcons. So, yeah, this could be one of the higher scoring games that we've been a part of this season. Yes, because the Falcons give up points as well, but they just outscore everybody.
Four losses in the last five games for the Eagles. Mike, you've seen this happen. You've been through this as a player. How do you turn it around?
You just stick to what you do, and you try and detail your work a little bit better. You try and make sure that you cross all the T's, dot all the I's, that all of the little things you're doing, and you're not giving away opportunities to the other side. That's all you can do. You have to be confident in what you're doing as a team. Continue to do that. Continue to be better at what you do as a team.
The red zone has been a problem for the Eagles. You've obviously been a receiver in the red zone. What works in the red zone? And conversely, when it doesn't work, are there certain reasons that you look for?
They have a lot of real good plays that work in the red zone, but they have some plays that don't work in the red zone. They do a really good job with the rubs and their picks in the red zone, but sometimes you just have to beat a guy. You have to be able to beat the man lined up across from you, and too many times they're not able to do that.
Mike, thank you.
Yep.
In this week's Merrill Minute, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, takes aim at the first half of the Eagles season and says the Eagles need to come up big in one key area on Sunday to get to 5-4.
The Eagles are in the Super Bowl! The Eagles are
day. It's Groundhog Day! They did it!
The daughter of the end zone! I don't believe it!
This game could be in a museum.
As the Eagles head into the second half of the season, I think there is a frustration that all of us feel, knowing that this team, instead of 4-4, could very easily have been 6-2. At the same time, you go through growing pains in this league, and you have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to capture these tight games. I am extremely encouraged by the play of Carson Wentz. He makes mistakes. He made two bad interceptions at the beginning of the Giants game, and yet he has the ability to put that behind him. He's never tentative. He never starts aiming the ball. He just comes back with a lot of confidence. That leadership is there, and I think that's something you can't teach. That's something that a player has to have within him. I'm optimistic about this week, about the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think their offensive line is as good as a lot of people evaluate it to be. I think the Eagles are going to put a lot of heat on Matt Ryan. I know he has the best receiver in football in Julio Jones. You worry about the coverage, but if the heat is there, if the pressure is there, the Eagles can hold them down and win, get back in the win column, and take off from there.
We finish our podcast with this scouting report on those Atlanta Falcons. Here is Fran Duffy.
Thanks, Dave. And I know you've already spent a lot of time talking about Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, but there's a reason why this is the number one offense in the entire NFL in terms of points per game, over 33 points per game from this entire offense. And it's not just through Julio, because Matt Ryan has done such a great job of executing offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan's game plan. And it's not built just through the star receiver, because they have a host of other weapons that they really try and distribute the football to. Mohamed Sanu, who they signed in free agency from the Cincinnati Bengals, he actually leads the team in targets both in the red zone and on third down, so he is certainly a weapon that you have to worry about in the intermediate area of the field. But then also, when you talk about their running backs and their tight ends in the passing game, they are lethal when Matt Ryan is throwing the football. And it's really interesting when you look at Matt Ryan's numbers with three tight ends throwing the football. He's 24 of 31, over 77%, five touchdowns, 158.3 quarterback rating when Matt Ryan is throwing the football with three tight ends. They love to stretch the field vertically. On 20 plus yard throws downfield, Matt Ryan is completing just 50%, but 693 yards and six touchdowns, 135.4 quarterback rating. And that's not just with Julio Jones. That's with guys like Taylor Gabriel, who played for Shanahan in Cleveland. It's Aldrick Robinson, who played for Shanahan in Washington. So they've really tried to incorporate all of the different targets in this passing game, all the tight ends, all the backs. If they get Tevin Coleman back, he is also a huge part of what they do in the passing game. game as well. We'll see if he's able to take the field on Sunday. But it is a very diverse offense. Matt Ryan is holding the keys as he drives this Cadillac throughout the NFC South. It'll be interesting to see what Jim Schwartz and Eagles defense decide to do to take away not just Julio, but the rest of these weapons.
That'll do it for this Eagles Live Podcast, episode 45. Thanks to Brian Thomas for making everything so perfect here, and thanks to you for tuning in each and every time we post a podcast. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro. Thanks for joining me here. A reminder, once again, that we will have the Instant Reaction Eagles Live Podcast on Sunday evening following the Eagles-Falcons game at Lincoln Financial Field. Thanks, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
EAT!